Good morning. Welcome to our weekly shiur on Jewish halacha and minhag, the Jewish laws and customs. My name is Rabbi Elchanan Shalom Elgrod. The shiur has been shifted, with the help of Hashem, permanently from Wednesdays from 4:15. It will now be held on Tuesdays at 11:30. And the reason is because the shiur is also now going to accommodate our wonderful English-speaking kollel here in Yeshivat Chut Shel Chesed under the leadership of Rabbi Dror Kasuto Shlita. The shiur itself will be 55 minutes, starting from 11:30 to 12:25. 40 minutes will be a shiur on a halachic subject, and 15 minutes will be open questions and answers. We welcome our viewers on the internet sites on breslev.co.il, our website, Breslev Israel. We also would like to welcome all of the English-speaking kollel. If anyone on the internet has any questions, please write to us, don't be embarrassed. With the help of Hashem, we'll be able by next week to relate to those answers. Our website, our email address is breslev@breslev.co.il. Just before we start, as an introduction, since I was born in Israel, I am not a fluent English speaker. Therefore, if I make any mistakes in grammar or in diction, I'm sure you'll excuse me. Feel free to correct me, it's also good for me, I'll learn. Today we're going to start with a series of shiurim, which is probably going to take us most of the winter, if not all of the winter. We'll be speaking about the laws and halachot of Lashon Hara. Many people, before we start, I'd just like to bring a Hasidic story that will emphasize how important it is to control what we take out of our mouths. There's a story about a group of Hasidim that once decided to go and travel to their Rebbe. And on their way, they stopped at an inn. Of course, they sat down. They inspected for quite some time and very thoroughly what is the kashrus in that inn. Is the innkeeper a God-fearing person? Was the meat shechted by a good shoychet? Who inspected the rice? And so on. And of course, after they finished the inspection and they decided that they can eat in that inn, they sat down at one of the tables. They started singing and speaking. And while they were speaking, they started relating to different people from the Rebbe's Rebbe's court, and saying what's happening with so and so, what's happening with Reb Moshe, with Reb Shimon. And of course, as naturally this naturally happens, when people start speaking about other people, they start also speaking Lashon Hara, voicing their opinions about what they're doing, and making comments that should not necessarily be said. And suddenly they heard a voice from the back of the inn, Chasidim, Chasidim. You're so careful about what goes into your mouth. What about what comes out of your mouth? People don't realize that the gravest sin that a person can commit when he eats something that's forbidden are six lavim. In other words, by eating one thing, a person can do six isurim. What is that? The Gemara says in Masechet Makos, on the 15th page, the Gemara there says that if a person eats a sheretzaof, which means a flying insect, for example, a wasp or a fly, then by eating that insect whole, he has committed six transgressions against Hashem. Six lavim. The Chofetz Chaim says that when a person speaks Lashon Hara, he does 17 lavim, 14 mitzvahs aseh, that he has just now cancelled, and he has ignored by speaking Lashon Hara, and therefore arurim, which means that from the Torah he's cursed. And in order to understand how grave the sin of Lashon Hara is, the Chofetz Chaim brings in the name of the Midrash. We know that the punishment in the time of the Torah for speaking Lashon Hara was the punishment of tzara'at, leprosy. We don't have that punishment in our days anymore. Says the Chofetz Chaim in the Midrash that today we have a spiritual punishment, a spiritual tzara'at. A person that speaks Lashon Hara, if we'd be able to see on the spiritual plane, which is something that most of us can't, we'd see that any person that spoke Lashon Hara, a spiritual tzara would pop on his hands, his knees, his back, his face. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the spiritual tzara, the spiritual leprosy is so bad, it prevents all your prayers, all your Torah, all your Avodas Hashem from reaching up to Hashem Yisbarach. Everything gets stuck. It's as if I put this massive big iron plate between you and Kisei HaKavod, and everything just gets stopped and blocked up there. So when a person starts thinking, one second, why am I feeling spiritually so bad? Why am I not managing to pray the way I want to pray? Why can't I sit and learn the way I want to sit and learn? Why do I feel that all the things that are holy and spiritual are so far distant from me? Then the first thing that he should check is he sinning the sin of Lashon Hara? Because if he is spiritually tainted. He's ill. There's something on his body that's preventing from the spirituality to affect him. So we can understand how grave the sin is of Lashon Hara, not just from the point of view of all the things, all the transgressions that a person is committing, but also from the spiritual value of not being able to progress. The first thing that we need to know about learning about any mitzvah is, before we reach the halachot, the Pele Yoetz write this under the value of kas, of anger. Before we learn the halachot, we've got to understand what a grave sin we're dealing with. The Chofetz Chaim invested a lot of his time writing the introduction to his book, Chofetz Chaim, explaining all the different averot that a person commits when he speaks Lashon Hara. And he repeats at the end of this introduction that one should read this introduction again and again. Why? Because when a person instills within himself the realization and the knowledge that what he is doing is so grave and so terrible, only then can he actually start keeping the halachot. That's what Rabbi Nachman of Breslev writes in Nikutei Moharan, in Torah Chet, the 8th Torah, that the only way that you can separate the good from the bad is by learning halachot, by knowing what is good and what is bad. Most people don't realize how grave it is to speak Lashon Hara until they read the introduction of the Chafetz Chaim, realizing how many sins they're committing. So we're going to start today by going over the introduction of the Chafetz Chaim. Now, these shiurim are based on two books. The first book, of course, which is the book on Hilchot Lashon Hara, is the book written by Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen from Radin, the book Chafetz Chaim, which has become, we could say, the Bible concerning Hilchot Lashon Hara and Rechilut. There's another book which I use, and that is a book called L'Re'acha Kamocha, written by the Gaon Rabbi David Ariyav Shlita. It is a wonderful book. It's a series of books on all the transgressions of Ben Adam Lechavero. An unbelievable series. He gives in those series, he explains it in day-to-day language. He gives beautiful explanations. None of what I'm saying has got to do with me. This is not chidushim, not new things that I'm saying. I took this from these two books. These are the two basic books which we're going to be learning through these series of shiurim. In Tehillim, David HaMelech says, "Netzor leshoncha mera usfatecha midaber mirma." A person has to be able, just like a person, we know that outside of most official government buildings, outside of banks, outside of army bases, we have professional guards that are supposed to make sure that those who are not supposed to enter stay out, and that those who can go out freely. The Chofetz Chaim says, a person must learn how to put guards on his tongue. The Midrash says that's why Hashem created the lips. The lips are supposed to be the two seals for the tongue. You can close your mouth shut. There's an expression in English, it's not a very nice expression, sewing your mouth shut. It's an expression which actually it explains what's the purpose of the lips. The lips are the two guards for our mouth. A person must learn how to keep his mouth shut. Shlomo HaMelech says in the book of Mishlei, Mavet v'chaim be'ad ha'lashon. The tongue has got the power to both kill and to revive. Revive. Imagine if now you're really having a bad day. Nothing's working for you. You had a bad day, you left the house angry, you came here to yeshiva, someone spilt on you coffee, someone is sitting in your seat, your books are gone. You're disappointed. And suddenly, you meet the Rosh Yeshiva, our tzaddik Rav Arush Shlita, and he comes and he grabs you, he puts his arm around you, and he says to you, he looks at you with this beaming smile, and he says, "Isn't this a beautiful day?" That mere sentence, those facial expressions, everything changed. Words can revive. On the other hand, words can kill. I had a friend who was born as a Haredi boy. He's not from now. And do you know why he's not from? He's not from because when he was in yeshiva, he asked a question to one of his rabbis. He was 17 at that age. And the rabbi responded, he said it in English, in Hebrew. He said three words when he asked his kasha. The translation is, "It's a stupid kasha. Zokushiyati pshit." That's all he said. He said nothing else. He just said, out of the blue, the rabbi obviously was not noticing what he's saying. he had what we call, we can use this expression a few more times, even though it is not necessarily a very nice expression, but I think it explains what our problem is when we come to speak to other people. Most of us have got what's called verbal diarrhea. We just let our mouth go. And that's what happened to this rabbi. And all he said was, it's a stupid kasha. That killed him. That killed him. He left yeshiva that week. And from then on, it was just a spiral trip downwards. He's not from now. He doesn't want to hear about Yiddishkeit. People have tried. He's so hurt and so insulted. Three words in the Hebrew. Zo kushiya tipshit. That's what's called mavet v'chaim b'yad alashon. The tongue can kill, the tongue can revive. That's why in the book of Bereshit, in the beginning of the second chapter, it says, Vayhi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. The man was a living spirit. The Targum there explains what's a living spirit. Now we know that the Targum, the Gemara says in Tractate Megillah on the third page, that the Targum was given to Am Yisrael at Mount Sinai. With the Torah was given the Targum. And the Aramaic interpretation of Nefesh Chaya, a living spirit, is L'ruach Memalela, a speaking spirit. A man is differentiated by animals by his power to express himself through words. Words express thoughts. That is consciousness, intelligence, awareness. That's the power of speaking. That's what differentiates us from a monkey. You do know, by the way, that from a genetic point of view, the similarity between us and a normal chimpanzee is 98.3%. All that differentiates our DNA is 1.7% between us and a monkey. That was one of Darwin's theories. Darwin said that the man and the ape both come from the same pre-father. He never said that man comes from the ape. He just said that both man and both ape had somewhere along the line the same, I don't know what's called it, the same prototype father. All that differentiates us and ape is 1.7% of genetic matter. But yet, look at what we've managed to achieve. Look at what the apes have managed to achieve. They've managed to stay alive in the zoos, more or less. Some of them can speak up to 300 words. What differentiates us? The power of speech, intelligence, verbalization. Mavet v'chaim b'yad alashon. The tongue can kill, the tongue can revive. It's on everyday life. Any of you that have children can see it with your kids. A good word can make your child do whatever you want. A bad word, ruin his whole day. Cause him to feel insecure about himself, and so on. Says the Chofetz Chaim that the first sin of Lashon Hara, sorry, before we continue. In Lashon Hara we have two sins. One is called Lashon Hara, one is called Rechilut. Lashon Hara, the translation would be an evil tongue, but we'll use the Hebrew explanation. Rechilut is what's called gossip. What's the difference between them? What are the halachic definitions of Lashon Hara and Rechilut? Lashon Hara is transferring information from one person to another person, referring to a third person, saying about him something which is negative. It doesn't have to be a lie, it can be true. For example, I will now speak to Rav Dror, and I will say to him that a person called Daniel is stupid. I transfer the information from me to Rav Dror, referring to a third person, Daniel, saying about him something derogatory, insulting, negative. He's stupid. It might be true. Maybe he is stupid. That's Lashon Hara. Rechilut, gossip, is something completely different. Rechilut is transferring information from two people, trying to cause friction, dispute, and feuds between two people or two groups of people. For example, I can go to Rav Dror and say to him, did you hear that the Avi Yeshiva across the road also opens an English-speaking program? That is Rechilut. What's my intent when I go and tell him that another English-speaking program is open? I'm trying. This again, this depends on how I say it, and it depends on what my intention was. I could be trying now to cause friction between Rav Dror and the Rav of the other group. But see, they're competing with you. They're trying to take your Talmidim away. I didn't say here anything negative, but I'm trying to cause friction and dispute between two people or two groups of people. That's gossip. Again, Lashon Hara is saying negative or derogatory things, even if they're true. Gossip, Rechilut, is trying to cause feuds, friction, and disputes between people. The Rishonim have a machloikis. What is worse? The Rambam says Lashon Hara is worse. Why? Because Lashon Hara, you're saying negative things about people. Rechilut, gossip, is not necessarily negative things. There's nothing negative with saying that another yeshiva opens an English-speaking program. Lashon Hara, saying that Daniel is stupid, that's negative. Says the Rambam, saying derogatory things, insulting things, is worse. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says, no, gossip is worse. There's nothing worse than causing machloikis between Am Yisrael. It's worse causing machloikis than saying negative things about someone else. Since both these mitzvahs and both these averus are averus from the Torah, we have a rule brought in the Gemara in Beitza on the third page. Sveika d'oraita lechumra. Whenever we have a mitzvah of d'oraisa, which we don't know all the halachic ramifications, lechumra, we always try to be machmir. So we don't know what's worse, lashon hara v'chilut, so we're going to be machmir, they're both terrible. So that's the conclusion. And now let's start learning about all the transgressions that a person can do just by speaking lashon hara. The first one is an explicit lav written in the Torah about speaking lashon hara, lo telech rachil be'amecha. It's brought in Pasuk Kedoshim. You're not allowed to say gossip or lashon hara to someone else. You're not allowed to say it. Very clear cut. A person who speaks lashon hara is ignoring a lav written in the Torah. And again, as we said, Rashi explains there something very nice. Rashi says, where does the word rachil come from? It's a very rare word. We don't find it in anywhere else. Rashi says, rachil, the word rachal, the letter kaf, changes with the letter gimel. It comes from ragal, from spine. A person who is used to speaking lashon hara and gossip is a little evil spy. He likes eavesdropping on other people's conversations. He likes standing behind the door, listening to things that he shouldn't listen, transferring information and comments between one person to another. Did you hear what Daniel did? Oh, I'm not going to tell you. Okay, I'll tell you. You know those people? Yes? Okay, everyone knows them. My father used to call them the instigators. You know what an instigator is, right? The person who's always trying to cause turmoil wherever he can. Rashi says that's a person who goes rachil. Rachil is just like ragal, a spy. He's a spy. He eavesdrops. He listens. He's always there at the right moment to transfer the information. None of us would like to have spies in our house. So none of us should be spies on our own. Refrain from doing that. It's not a good thing. An explicit lav, lo telech rachil be'amecha. Normally when people speak lashon hara, they have got many, many lies which they say while they're speaking. The midah of emes, of truth, is a very difficult midah. The Gemara says in Tractate Shabbos on the 54th page that emes is the midah of Hashem. Hashem chotamo emet, his seal is emes. Most of us are natural liars. Some of us are pathological liars, which is even worse. Most of us lie without even noticing. Now, the honest truth is, our whole world is a world based on lies. Look at the publicity. Take, for example, a normal pamphlet that you get, a Haredi pamphlet. The book that everyone was expecting. Excuse me? I wasn't expecting that book. I didn't know that book was even published. Even if that book was published, I don't really know what that book's speaking about. The best holiday resort. How can you say the best holiday resort? Did you go check every single holiday resort there is and then make sure this is the best holiday resort? That's an explicit lie. Our whole lives, every single day, we are fed with lies day and night. We don't even realize it. Our natural filters have become so clogged by all this lie and filth that we're not even able to differentiate the truth from the lie. Publicity is a world based on lie. Any person who's a copywriter who wants to be a truthful person is going to have a real serious problem finding a job. No one wants to buy the truth. Everyone is buying lies. We are so stormed by lies that even the way we speak, he's the best rabbi I've ever met. Are you sure? The best rabbi in what? This is the best yeshiva. How do you know it's the best yeshiva? We don't even notice. So many times when we speak about other people, we speak lashon hara, we say lies. Finished. Another lav. Lo tisa shem hashav. You're not allowed to hear lies You're not allowed to say lies about someone else. So already, if a person spoke Lashon Hara and he lied, he's already gone through two lavim, two transgressions. Third one, Hishamer benega hatzarat lishmor mod velasot. We were warned to be careful not to speak Lashon Hara so that we're not punished with the punishment of tzarat, of leprosy. A person who speaks Lashon Hara, it just shows that he doesn't care about what the Torah says, being careful. Imagine if I said to you, just imagine, this was now, imagine if I was an extremely notorious gangster, known to be a very, very violent person, very volatile. And I said to you, any person that opens his mouth while I'm giving a shiur is going to suffer. He's going to suffer badly. You would sit there like this, just keeping your mouth shut. Why? Because you know that my threat is a real threat. You'd know that if I said that I'm going to do something to you if you open your mouths, I mean it. The Torah warns us. A person who speaks Lashon Hara is going to be punished with the punishment of leprosy. Tzarat. A person who's oblivious to that is just saying, oh, okay, no. You don't scare me. That's what he's saying. He's actually saying to Hashem, you don't scare me. We're going to get to that. It comes also a problem of emuna. Third transgression. Fourth. Lifnei iver lo titen michshol. The Torah warns us that if we have a blind person that's walking on the path, we're not allowed to put any obstacle in his path so that he falls and drops down. And explains the Midrash that this is not just referring to a blind person in real life, to an actually person who can't see. This is referring to all of us who are blind on many aspects of life. You're not allowed to try and put an obstacle, whether physical or spiritual, in front of a person, causing him to fail. Whether fail physically or whether fail spiritually. Which means, I am not supposed to goad you into doing an Aveira. And if I do that, I have just sinned with Lifnei Ivel. A person who speaks Lashon Hara is actually causing the people that hear to fail the Issa of hearing Lashon Hara. Now, just realize how bad it is. This Issur of Lifnei Ivel depends on how many people are hearing. Imagine a person who just now got on the radio. There are 10,000 people that are hearing him. He said Lashon Hara. He just committed, with one sentence, 10,000 Averis. From Doraisa of Lifnei Ivel or Ten Michshol. Because he has just now caused every single one of the listeners to this radio program to fail. Or at least, he tried to goad them into failing the Issa of hearing Lashon Hara and Rechilut. That's why you should know, this camera here is a dangerous thing. No, people don't realize it. That when a Rav realizes that every single thing that he says can be interpreted this way or that way, most Rabbonim don't like speaking in front of the camera. They don't like giving shurim on the internet because they're petrified. They know the ramifications of every single sentence they say. If I was now sitting and I would say something negative about someone else, if there are, okay, Bezrat Hashem, I hope that every time that we give a shir, it's all our shiurim, we have 6 billion people watching us who want to hear the words of Hashem coming out of this yeshiva. 6 billion transgressions every single time. Okay, I'm assuming that there are 1 billion people in the world who don't understand English that well, but at least 6 do, no? It is the universal language. Lifnei Ivel. A person who's giving a shir, and in the middle of the shir, he says something negative about someone else, if there are 20 people, with one sentence, 20 isuri doresa. 20! That's much worse than eating a fly. One sentence, and this is only one issa, Lifnei Ivel. Next issu. Pride. Gaiva. Yishamer lecha pen tishkach et Hashem Elokecha. We were warned not to forget Hashem, not to lose the connection between us and Hashem. What is the easiest way to lose the cord, the spiritual thread that connects us to Hashem? Says the Gemara on Tractate Sotah, on the 5th page, the easiest way is pride. Because when a person becomes vain, proud and arrogant, we have a pasuk that says, To'avat Hashem kol gvalev. Hashem despises all those who are vain and arrogant and proud. Hashem, that's the first thing that Hashem does. Hashem runs away. Ito lo uchal. I can't live with him. A Rosh Yeshiva, the Tzaddik Rav Arush Shlita, explained to me once, that if we think about it, all the sins that a person commits, the whole essence of Yetzer Hara is all concentrated on that one midah called pride. Every sin that we commit comes from a point of vanity and arrogance that we have. Why, for example, would a person eat something that is forbidden? Because he is thinking, I want to eat this. He's thinking about me. I am hungry. He's not thinking about Hashem. Hashem doesn't exist now in his world. It's me. He's ego-centered. Thinking only about himself. Think about it. Every single sin comes from the point of vanity and arrogance. Every single sin. A person who knows that Hashem is here, he'll never say me before Hashem. Whenever we sin, it comes because we think of what we want. Not of what someone else or not what Hashem wants. And that's what Yetzer Hara wants. What Yetzer Hara wants is to separate us from Hashem. That's the easiest thing. And the easiest way to do that is to cause us to become arrogant and proud. The minute you're vain, finished. Hashem runs away. Hashem can't stand people who sin with the sin of Gaiva. So therefore, a person who speaks Lashon Hara, why will a person speak Lashon Hara or Rechilis about someone else? Gaiva. Rabbeinu Yoina, in his book Shaarei Tshuva, on the third Shaar, writes it explicitly. He says, a person will not speak Lashon Hara and Rechilut unless he sins with the sin of Gaiva, of arrogance and pride. He's thinking about me. I'm going to show everyone that Daniel is such a negative person. Oh, you just wait. Oh, I'm waiting for that key sentence. Oh, I'm going to cause now friction between two parties of Jews because it's good fun. Yeah, I want to watch this. A person, unfortunately, was born in this century. Maybe he should have been born to the Roman nation in the time of the Roman Empire. He could have gone to the Colosseum and watched the gladiators kill each other all day long. The sin of Lashon Hara comes from the point of proud, of arrogance, of being vain. So a person who speaks Lashon Hara, again, another sin. Hishamer lecha petishkachet Hashem elokecha. You're forgetting Hashem, you're disconnecting yourself from Hashem. Next sin, chilul Hashem velo techalelu et Shem Kodshi. Velo techalelu et Shem Kodshi, chilul Hashem, means that instead of sanctifying the name of Hashem, you're doing the opposite. Now, Chilul Hashem, the Gemara explains in Tractate Yoima, on the 86th page, the Gemara there explains, what does it mean, Chilul Hashem? Chilul Hashem means that when people look at the way you're behaving, they're saying, what? This is the way this person is behaving? Imagine if you now took one of your rabbis, okay? One of your rabbis. And you see that one of your rabbis is behaving in a way that is disrespectful, in a way that is rude. If you see him insulting someone else, what would you think? You'd think, what? This is how a rabbi is behaving? This is what his Torah is worth? Today, we are all on the level of rabbis. Any person who is a frum person and Jewish person who has a kippah on his head represents not only the Jewish people, but he also represents Yiddishkeit. When people look at you in the street, what do they see? They see how a frum person is supposed to behave. If you behave in an improper way, they will reflect it on all the frum people. Look what happens in the day-to-day press. If, for example, a frum person has, Rahman al-Itzlan, lo aleinu, committed the sin of theft, what's the first thing that it says on the paper? Frum person caught stealing. I've never seen a sentence saying non-frum person caught stealing. Why? Because they themselves realize that the non-frum people are not necessarily supposed to present, they're not supposed to represent everyone. We are. When we put a kippah on our heads, we represent Yiddishkeit. That's how they perceive us. So we've got to be very careful. You speak Lashon Hara, you're sitting and speaking negative things about someone else. Not from people that are looking, you're saying, what? This is what Yiddishkeit is worth? Sitting there tarnishing someone else's name? I don't want to get close to Yiddishkeit. So a person that speaks Lashon Hara is Chilul Hashem. Velo techalelu et Shem Kodshi. Next sin. Lo tisnai et achicha bilvavecha. You shan't hate your brother in your heart. You don't normally speak Lashon Hara and Bechilas about people that you love. That's a given. People that you love, you're very careful to respect them, to be very careful not to say anything negative about them. When you normally speak Lashon Hara and Rechilut, it's about people that you don't care that much about. Not only don't you care about them, you'd actually be very happy if something negative happened to them. if people would disrespect them. Lo tisnei et achicha b'levecha, you're not allowed to hate your brother in your heart. Next love, lo tikom v'lo titor. These are already two lavim. You shan't hold a grudge. You shan't revenge. Most people that speak lashon hara against someone else, it comes because they have somewhere a point where they're angry. He did something to them. They want to get their revenge back. The Ramchal in Mesilas Yeshorim writes in the 11th chapter that revenge is sweeter than honey. I read once a story. This was an incredible story to explain what is the power of revenge. They interviewed, I think my father brought me some American magazine, it might even have been Newsweek, and they had there an interview with a non-Jewish black multimillionaire from America. And they asked him about his life, and they also asked him about what is the best moment in his life. And he said, I'll tell you. He said, when I was 16, we lived in a slum neighborhood. We were very poor. I worked in a grocery store. My job was to pack all the groceries into the paper bags in America. I was a clever kid, and I thought that I could do better than just packing bags. And I went to my boss. My boss was the owner of this grocery store. And I said to him, listen, I think I'm quite capable. I'd like to get a raise, maybe even if you could move me, please, to another department. And my boss looked at me and he said, listen to me. You're worth nothing. You're never going to be anything more than a packer. All you'll ever be able to do is pack groceries in a paper bag. Now, if you persist in packing bags and you listen to what I say, maybe you'll become the best packer in the area. But don't expect to be anything else. He said he felt so insulted, he quit his job that day, and he decided to invest everything that he could in school. He was a clever kid, and he managed to get very, very good marks. I think it's called his SAT tests, right? The SATs, he got a very high grade. He got a scholarship, I think it was to Harvard, and he went to learn their business. By the time he was 30, he made his first $1 million. At the age of 35, he went back to his neighborhood, and he opened a competing grocery store right across the road, and his prices were ground level. He sold everything for so cheap. And his purpose was to simply to cause the other grocery store to collapse. And he said that after a few months this was going on, the manager of the other grocery store came into him, and he said, listen, he said, what are you doing to me? You're killing my panosa. I can't compete with your prices. I can't sell something for lost prices like you are. I'm losing all my clients. I'm going to be left with nothing. And he sat and he said, tell me, do you remember me? Do you know who I am? Do you remember that black kid that used to work for you about 20 years ago, packing bags that you said will never become anything more than a backpacker? Well, that's me. I'm a multimillionaire. And do you want to know something? I'm going to devastate you. I'm going to run you down. But you can always have a job in my grocery store packing bags. And I promise you, you'll never be anything more than that. And he said that was the sweetest moment in his life. Think about that. It's pathetic. A person who's made millions, who has managed to pick himself, lift himself out of the slums, who's managed to build factories and stores and everything, his sweetest moment is getting his revenge back from this petty little grocery manager that offended him 20 years ago. And that's what he remembered. He was interviewed while he was already 60 years old. In other words, we're going back now 25 years. That's what the Ramchal says, revenge is sweeter than honey. And that's why most of us, when we speak Lashon Haran V'chilut, we do it because we want to take revenge on someone else. He offended us, he hurt us, he disrespected us. He didn't look at us the way we think that we should have been looked at. As he walked into class, he pushed us. He sat in my seat. He used my book. He said something that annoyed me during class. Okay, it's payback time. So a person who speaks Lashon Haran V'chilut, most probably in most cases, will also sin in Lo Tikom V'Lo Titor. Next one, says the Chofetz Chaim, Lo Tihyeh Achrei Rabim L'Ra'ot. We are commanded by Hashem Yisbarach not to join groups of evil people. It is a very common thing in shuls, in yeshivas, even in general gatherings, that you'll always have. In Israel, they call them the parliament. Have you heard of the parliament? That's a group of people that sit in the shul. They have their own table and their seats. Here you have the prime minister. Here you have the first minister of the Yetzer Hara. Here you have the Yetzer Hara himself sitting across. And the parliament speaks about every important thing that happened in their little zone of life, mostly about what he did and what that did. I once went to Davam in a shul here in Zichron Moshe. You all know the Shtiblach of Zichron Moshe. There were two old people sitting at the entrance. I was waiting for Mincha, a few minutes. This was their conversation for about 3 minutes until I left. "Tell me, did you see Cohen walking in today? Did you see the spot he had on his head? He had a spot? Yes, he had a spot. He didn't clean his head today. How can he walk into shul and his hat is not clean?" For 3 minutes, all they were speaking about is Cohen and his hat is not clean. I mean, what a waste of time. That's what's called Loshon Hara. That's what's called a group of Lo Tiyacheh Rabim Lera'ot. That's what they do. You have groups of people that sit and speak Loshon Hara. Especially now. This is now an extremely dangerous time. This is the time of elections. Both elections in America and elections here in Israel. The time of elections are dangerous times. People start speaking so much Loshon Hara about everyone else. "I'm going to choose for him because he's like this and he's like this. And if you vote for that party and you vote for that party..." In our yeshiva, the golden rule is, and the Rosh Yeshiva says this quite often, we don't speak about Hashkofa. We don't speak about these things like who you're going to vote for. You know why? Because Hashkofa always separates people. It always causes friction. In our yeshiva, we speak about Torah and Avodas Hashem. Hashkofa, do whatever you want. Don't share it with anyone else. Don't cause a fight. We're not interested in hearing what you vote for. We're not interested in hearing who you think is better for the Jewish people. Keep it to yourself. Sit down and learn. On the day when it comes to vote, you do what you've got to do. If your rabbis told you to vote, go vote. If they said don't vote, don't vote. And when you're finished, come back to yeshiva and learn. Don't speak about these things. One's got to be very, very careful in these times of elections from Loshon Hara and Mechilas. Because when you start speaking, it never ends. And normally, even though you start speaking about an ideological difference, it very quickly escalates and becomes a personal difference and a personal argument. "Oh, all you voters for that candidate, you all, you liberals, you conservatives, you." That's what happens. That's already gone to Loshon Hara and Mechilas. Lo tihiyachi rabim lera'ot. You're not allowed to go and join people who all they do is they sit and they tarnish other people. Another love. And the last love we're going to speak about today, before we go into the personal questions, is Velo yeh kekoach v'chadato. We have an explicit love not being part of a machloikis. Machloikis is like fire. You see people that have an argument, you see a machloikis, a disagreement, run away. Run away. Don't be part of that. Loshon Hara always causes machloikis. Always. And you know what the worst machlokes is? One of my rabbonim says, the Mishnah in Ofer says, "Kol machloket shi l'shem shamayim sofa litkayem." Any machlokes that's l'shem shamayim, the name of Hashem, will always exist. And he explained it as a joke. What does that mean? When a person gets into machlokes because he's sure that what he's doing is l'shem shamayim, oy givaldik, that will exist for generations. Because he's sure that he's doing it out of Kedusha. So out of Kedusha, he's tarnishing other people. He's saying Loshon Hara. He's trying to hurt and harm people from the opposite fraction. Velo yeh kekorach v'chadato. Don't be like Korach and his group. Stay away from Achlokes. So far, we've only spoken about 11 loving that a person does when he speaks Loshon Hara. We still have 6 more to go, not including all the mitzvahs asay and the arurim, the curses that a person will suffer from speaking Loshon Hara. So you now start understanding how severe this transgression, the aveira of speaking Loshon Hara is. And we haven't even started. With the help of Hashem, in the next few lessons, we're going to finish the introduction of the Chofetz Chaim, and then we're going to start speaking halacha lemaise, practical halachas about Loshon Hara, giving cases and different situations, trying to make sure that every single halacha is down to earth, so we can actually relate to it. If there are any questions about the shiur, please feel free to ask. We now have, in the last 15 minutes of the shiur, it's now an open Q&A stage. Anyone that has questions about any subject can ask, but Before that, I just want to say one thing. A rabbi is allowed to say, I don't know. The Brisker Rav, the first Brisker Rav, the Beis Halevi, when he was first chosen as a Rav of Brisk, they came to ask him a shaila, and he said, I don't know. Okay, that looked a bit weird. He said, go to the Dayanim. The same day they asked him a second shaila. He said again, I'm sorry, I don't know, go ask the Dayanim. The third time again, he said, I don't know. So one of the Gaboim said to him, you know, Rabbi, I'm sorry to tell you, but we hide you because you do know, not because you don't know. The Beis Halevi, no, no, he says, you don't have to worry about it. I wanted to show you that a rabbi can say, I don't know. Now that you know that I can say, I don't know, you can bring all the questions to me, it's fine. So I'm just saying, I'm not so sure I'll be able to answer everything. And if there are things that I can't answer, I'll say, I don't know. And if I need to think about it or check, and maybe go to the, back to the sources, I'll again say to you, so please don't feel insulted if I can't answer all the questions. Yes, so you wanted to ask something.
Yes.
I'm sorry, there was someone behind you who raised his hand the minute I said it. I apologize. The question that was asked, I'll just repeat it so that everyone can hear, is what happens when someone speaks Lashon Hara? How am I supposed to react? If I say I don't believe you, then I'm actually implying that the person who said those things is a liar. The second thing is, it might also be strengthening his Lashon Hara. The rule is like this. A person that speaks Lashon Hara has already declared himself to be a Rosha. He's an evil person. Why? Because he's doing all these averis against Hashem's will. He doesn't care about what Hashem wants. So saying that he's a liar, yes, he's most probably a liar. And the halachic requirement is that I have to say, I don't believe you. In your heart, we're going to learn about this, a person that hears Lashon Hara is not allowed to accept the Lashon Hara. He's supposed to say, at least internally, if not externally, if not voice this, I don't believe what you're saying. In my eyes, you're a liar. Yeah, you just sinned the sin of Lashon Hara, why won't you sin also the sin of Sheker, of lying? Yes. You're not strengthening the Lashon Hara by saying he's a liar, you're weakening what he's saying. Because if everyone is silent, then people will accept what he's saying as a given truth. If someone argues with him, you don't have to argue on a personal basis. I don't believe you. You are committing a sin of Lashon Hara, I don't believe a word you're saying. You've already negated most of the Lashon Hara, at least those who are hearing. Yes? The question here is asked, are we not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about non-Jewish people? The love about Lashon Hara specifically is, lotelech rachil be'amecha. You're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about someone who's from your nation. And from your nation, there's a Gemara in Shavuos, in Tractate Shavuos on the 30th page, that says that amecha is those who follow with you the path of Torah and mitzvahs. Even though considered that specific love, that specific transgression, is only amongst Jews themselves, many other things have got to do also with non-Jewish people, more so. There's a very important Rashi in Tractate Makos on the 24th page, which gives us a ruling about the proper behavior from Jews to non-Jews. The Gemara there brings in Tehillim on the 15th chapter that one of the virtues David HaMelech said about the super being, what Nietzsche called the supermensch, how a Jewish person is supposed to look, is kaspo lo natan b'neshech. He doesn't loan money with interest. Asks the Gemara there, that's a virtue. It's an explicit love. You're not allowed to lend money, to lend another Jew money, and charge him interest. Says the Gemara, no, we're not talking about a Jewish person. We're talking about a non-Jewish person. A non-Jewish person, we are allowed to lend out money and charge interest. La nochri tashich. To a non-Jewish person, you're allowed to lend money with interest. Nevertheless, David HaMelech praises those who don't even lend their money to non-Jews with interest. Says Rashi, why? Says Rashi, there a key sentence about the Jewish nature. If you get used to doing things that you're permitted, even if they're permitted to non-Jews, but you get used to doing something that is not a positive thing, it eventually affects you. It becomes part of you, and you'll eventually do it also to your Jewish brother. Which means that Rashi is telling us here that even things that we are not forbidden to do with our relations with non-Jews, that doesn't mean that it is advisable or recommended. On the contrary, speaking Lashon Hara is a terrible thing. If you get used to speaking about someone who is non-Jewish, you will very easily speak about someone who is Jewish. More so, A non-Jewish person, Betzelem Elokim Barayt Ha'adam, he too was born in the essence of HaKeshem. Of course, there are differences between Jews and non-Jews. He's also a man. He hurts and he bleeds just like you bleed and just like you hurt. And when you say negative things about him, he is also in sorrow. And when one of Hashem's creations is upset, is sorry, is feeling bad about things that you've caused him, Hashem himself is upset. So it is never a positive thing to speak Lashon Hara, even about non-Jews. Yes? A very good question was asked. From one hand, we are taught by our Rosh Yeshiva, the Tzaddik Rav Auschlitter, that a person is not supposed to comment and is not supposed to make remarks to his wife. But if he sees something that his wife is doing, that means that he himself has got to go and pray because it's a certain point that he is lacking in. How are we supposed to react when we see our wives if they speak Lashon Hara? That is a very important question, and in the following shiurim, we will relate that, giving exact examples when one needs to interfere and when one doesn't need to interfere. Because there are cases that one needs to interfere, but again, the key ruling is how to interfere. There are very good ways. For example, if I want to teach my wife Hilchos Lashon Hara, I can do it the wrong way. What are you doing? What are you speaking Lashon Hara for? You woman, you! Etc. And that, of course, will cause many problems. I can say to her something else. I can say to her, you know, my darling wife, I feel that I'm lacking in the fact that we don't get to learn together. I feel that my neshama yearns to learn with you. How about learning together Hilchos Lashon Hara and Mechilas? Every day we'll learn two halachas. How about that? You've solved the problem in a beautiful way. No one has been offended and will be much more effective. There is a longer answer, but the thing is, these are shiurim that we will relate to halachic points. What is she saying? How is she saying it? When are you allowed to comment? When are you not allowed to comment? Because the key mitzvah about commenting when someone else is transgressing in front of us is the mitzvah of toichecha, rebuke. There are many halachic stipulations when and how you're allowed to rebuke someone else. And in many cases, the Gemara says in Tractate Yevamos, on the 65th page, you are commanded to keep your mouth shut because no one's going to listen on the other side. So we're going to have to give explicit examples when yes and when not. I'm sorry. Yes? We, Be'ezrat Hashem, are going to be relating to Motzei Shem when we get to the mitzvahs of Aseh. Someone here commented, and rightfully so, that when a person lies, he's also committing the sin of Hotza'at Shemra, which means he's punishing someone else's name with explicit lies. The Chofetz Chaim brings that, but he brings that when he relates the mitzvahs Aseh that we do, then he brings that. So we're going to be speaking about that later on. But thank you. Yes? Oh. I'm sorry, I don't know your names yet. With the help of Hashem, no, please. Yes? That's a very good question. I'd just like to repeat it. It was commented here that many times when we walk in the streets and we are not necessarily dressed like Haredi people, which means we don't have the black and white zebra clothing, and we say hello to people who are dressed in black and white, they many times don't relate to us. First of all, no society is perfect. In every society you have people who have also got to learn how to behave. Many times I think it's a cultural thing and not necessarily something that has got to do with them looking down at you. In Israel, it is a cultural thing that people don't walk in the street and say hello. My parents both come from England, and they found it very difficult when they made Aliyah with what's called manners and curriculum. They found it very difficult. Things that in England are basic, like hello, I'm sorry, I apologize, they here don't exist. They don't exist here because of what's called the Israeli culture, not because of being rude or being like, and I'll give an example, not you, okay? If someone dressed like you would fall in the street, within 3 seconds, you'd have at least 50 people around you trying to help you, 4 or 5 Hatzolah motorcycles that will be running to your help. There's no such thing in Israel as seeing a Jew in distress and not helping him. So therefore you'd see that if you would need them, they'd always be there for you. So their behavior by not saying hello is not necessarily, it's not born of arrogance, it's just born of the Israeli culture that you stay within yourself. Yes? No, the shul itself, Zichron Moshe is a beautiful shul, it's a shtiblach, just everyone gathers there. Zichron Moshe, they themselves call themselves, yes, the central bus station. I've heard that from their gaba. He said, this is the central bus station. It's nothing to do about the shul itself, it exists in every shul. You can sit here in Chut Shul Chesed Yeshiva and hear those people. I just give it as an example as to where I was sitting. It doesn't reflect on the shul. I was asked, what's the proper tshuva from Lashon Hara? Well, we'll be speaking about that, but the key role that a person should know about tshuva is an expression called tshuvat ha-mishkal, which means tshuva should always be equivalent to the sin. In my opinion, and this is what I was taught by my rabbis, that except for the personal act of tshuva that you've got to do, which is confessing to Hashem and regretting what you did and accepting it upon yourself that you will not do it again, a person has to sit and learn the different halachot of what he has done wrong. If you don't learn hilchot lashon hara, you'll never know what's allowed and what's forbidden. The second thing is, in my opinion, and this is a very good way of tshuva, and I say this to many people, is I would buy books concerning that halachic issue, and I would donate them to different shuls. So therefore, more and more people will be able to learn hilchot lashon hara. Even if you had the power, then form a shir of hilchot lashon hara in your house. Have a shir, or support a shir, or call up different associations that deal with hilchot lashon hara and ask them, can I give a donation to you publishing books or giving shiurim? That is what's called tshuvat ha-mishkal. The tshuva is equivalent to the sin. We'll speak about that. In the tshuva, the question is like this, how can, if I said something negative about someone else, how can I do tshuva? Well, very rightfully so, most times when we speak Lashon Hara about someone else and it causes him harm, we have sinned on two different planes. We've sinned on the plane of Ben Adam Lamakom, between us and Hashem, and that is a personal process that tshuva will do. And we've also sinned on the plane of Ben Adam Lechavero, and therefore we have to go and we have to apologize, and we have to try and appease him, and we have to get his mechila. Which means that a person that's used to talking Lashon Hara, the Chofetz Chaim says, it will nearly be impossible for him to try and remember all the people he spoke about. So it's just better to keep your mouth shut. Last question. It's already 12:25. You want to ask something? No. You don't have to say, I think you're lying, because that's, again, it's machloikis. But you can say out loud, I don't believe you. This is Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, and you should walk away. In some cases, we learn, you're not allowed to walk away. You have to stay there and disturb him and interrupt his Lashon Hara to make sure that you save all the other people around. And we're going to learn about that. The minute you start insulting him on a personal basis, you're getting into machloikis. You haven't solved anything. You don't have to speak about the person. You have to speak about the actions. I don't believe you. You're speaking Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is forbidden. Yes, I'm sorry. Last question. I apologize. Our time is limited. Yes. A very good question. The question is that was asked is, we explained that rechilut is the intention of causing friction between people or fractions. What happens if he never ever intended causing friction? If it was just an offhand saying, We'll also learn about that. We'll also learn a key ruling should be, there should never be an off-handed sentence that comes out of a Jewish person's mouth. Ever. Every single thing should be thought about what we're saying and how we're saying it. No one ever said that being Jewish is easy, but it's lots of fun. Thank you very much for joining us. Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll meet again next week at 11:30 on Tuesdays. Again, we'd like to remind our viewers on our website at breslevisrael.co.il. If any questions you'd like to be read or any comments about the Shia till next week, please write to us. Our email address is breslev@breslev.co.il. Thank you very much, and may Hashem be with you. We'll meet again next week.